afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PION AG conference call on the financial results for 2016, hosted by Dr. Wolfgang Sungen and Abdelghany Omari. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I am now handing you over to Ralf Benner to begin today's conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for your kind introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, also thank you very much for joining us for PION's earnings call on the financial results of 2016. My name is Ralf Benner. I'm PION's Director of Investor Relations, and I'll be moderating today's call. I'm joined by Wolfgang Sungen, PION's CEO, as well as Abdelghany Omari, our CFO. Within the next half hour, we are going to highlight some of the 2016 achievements, give details on the financial results, highlight the most important events, and provide a pipeline and strategy update and financial outlook. After this initial presentation, we'll be happy to take your questions. I would like to point out that the slides for the presentation can be accessed by webcast in parallel to this conference call. The webcast details have been posted to the website and were also given on today's press release. If you have not already opened the webcast link, you may want to do so now. This conference call is being recorded, and a replay will be available later today and will be posted on our website. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that today's call may include forward-looking statements and that actual results may vary from PION's current anticipations. I would also like to refer to the disclaimer in the presentation slides. An dieser Stelle noch ein Hinweis für die deutschen Teilnehmer. Als international operierendes Unternehmen halten wir die Präsentation in englischer Sprache. Wir möchten den deutschen Teilnehmern am Ende jedoch die Möglichkeit geben, ihre Fragen auch in Deutsch zu stellen, und wir werden diese dann auch in deutscher Sprache beantworten. After these initial remarks, I believe that we should start right on now with the presentation. Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ralf, and hello everybody who is listening on this beautiful spring day. I'd like to start with a brief corporate overview for those who are not familiar with the company or are new listeners. We are a specialty pharma company based on anesthesia products. We're based in Germany. Our lead candidate is remimazolam. We already have seven partnerships for this compound in a broad region. We are currently around 36 FTEs, so we are really a very virtual company. We're headquartered in Aachen, and we have a subsidiary in Cambridge. I don't go into the details of the financing. This will be dealt with by Abdel. The supervisory board is constituted of Dr. Jörg Spiekelpeter, Karin Dohrpal, and John Dawson, and the management is Abdel and myself. We are listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Our market capitalization is fluctuating around 135 million-50 million. Recently, we have a pretty good liquidity for a biotech stock in the German market. Well, this I think is sufficient for the introduction. I would like to hand over to Abdel to give you an update on the financials of 2016.
Thank you, Wolfgang. Good afternoon, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, now I would like to guide you through the financial key figures for 2016 compared with the previous year and also give an outlook for the full year 2017. First of all, I would like to recap the capital increase that we have recently conducted. In February of this year, we successfully carried out a capital increase with subscription rights for existing shareholders at 2.05 euros per share, with gross proceeds of 4.99 million euros. We did have a U.S. backstop investor to buy all shares that were not subscribed. The uptake of the offering was 96%, and we would like to thank all shareholders for their support and commitment. In total, we issued 2.4 million new shares and increased the share capital to 58.2 million euros. The proceeds of this capital increase will mainly be used to prepare a filing dossier for general anesthesia in Japan, and Wolfgang will provide more details on this later on. Let me now guide you through the selected items of the P&L for 2016. Revenues significantly increased compared to 2015 and amounted to 4.3 million euros. Essentially, all of these revenues relate to the revenue recognition of a part of the upfront payment of 10 million euros that we received in 2016 from Cosmo. Research and development expenses amounted to 23.4 million euros, which is a decrease of 6 million euros compared to 2015. This decrease is due to lower expenses for phase one studies, production development, and regulatory activities, while phase three expenses increased, especially caused by successful acceleration measures for the U.S. bronchoscopy study. General administrative and selling expenses amounted to 5.1 million euros and decreased by 0.6 million euros compared to the previous year. This decrease mainly relates to lower selling expenses, which went down by 1 million euros to 1.3 million euros in 2016. This is in particular due to lower expenses for market research as well as pre-marketing and market access activities, while 2016 selling expenses mainly related to the initiation and preparation of license agreements. The admin expenses increased by 0.4 million euros to 3.8 million euros, which is mainly due to the preparation of potential capital measures that we did finally not conduct in the end after the deal with Cosmo. In connection with the research and development expenses, we show tax income from tax credit claims in the amount of 5 million euros. In total, we show a net loss of 20.1 million euros, a decrease of 8.1 million euros compared to 2015. The result is better than planned, essentially due to the revenues from the Cosmo upfront payment. The net loss means earnings per share, basic and diluted, of minus 0.38 euros. Now I would like to move to the selected balance sheet items on the next slide. The total assets decreased by 5.5 million euros compared to end 2015. This mainly results from a lower tax credit claim due to lower R&D expenses than in the previous year and a reduction of cash and cash equivalents. As you can see on the upper right-hand side, cash decreased by 2.6 million euros compared to end of 2015. This reduction stems especially from negative cash flows from operating activities of 11.6 million euros on the one hand and positive cash flows from financing activities of 9.2 million euros on the other hand. Cash flows from financing activities primarily result from the private placement with Cosmo. As you can see on the lower left-hand side, equity decreased by 10.6 million euros to 24.9 million euros. This decrease mainly results from the net loss of the year and the private placement with Cosmo that I just mentioned. The equity ratio was 65.7%. The staff development is illustrated on the lower right-hand side. Compared to an average number of 29 employees in 2015, we increased staff to 36 employees on average in 2016. At the end of 2016, we had 34 employees. Finally, I would like to give an outlook for 2017. This year, we will further concentrate on the development program in the U.S. and on the production development. Moreover, we will start preparing a market approval dossier for Japan and start preparations for EU Phase 3 development program in general anesthesia by conducting a Phase 1 study. Regarding revenues, we expect these to amount to approximately 5.8 million euros. This is mainly due to the expected recognition of the remainder of the upfront payment from Cosmo. Given the ongoing development activities, we will continue to incur significant R&D expenses, which we estimate to be in a range of about 18 to 20 million euros. SG&A costs will be lower than in 2016, and amount to 3.5 to 4 million euros. Based on the estimate for the R&D expenses, we expect tax income from UK tax credits in the amount of approximately 3.5 to 4 million euros. In total, we expect a decreased net loss in the amount of approximately 12 to 14 million euros. Regarding our liquidity, with cash of 30.1 million euros at the end of 2016, we have sufficient funds to complete the ongoing development in the U.S. and will not need additional funding to bring remimazolam to the U.S. market if things progress according to plan. For the continuation of the EU Phase 3 program, we will require additional funding of approximately 20 to 25 million euros up until filing. Without potential milestone payments and without potential costs of the targeted continuation of the EU Phase 3 program, our cash runway, including expected tax credits, is at least until the end of 2018. Thank you so far. Now I hand back to you, Wolfgang.
Thank you very much, Abdel. I'd like to briefly touch upon our pipeline overview, which you see is consisting essentially of remimazolam. We have decided to no longer report on M6G and GGF2 because their value contribution is insignificant compared to the overall value of remimazolam. The events in 2016, I would like to focus on the highlights, really. This was number one, the positive colonoscopy study and the deal with Cosmo, both of these things which considerably have de-risked the overall PAION equation and also the perception by investors of PAION. And since we are now approaching the next studies to be reported in the very near future, I expect this de-risking will continue and PAION will even look more favorable. What has happened so far in 2017? As Abdel already reported, we have raised we performed a capital increase with a net proceeds of close to 5 million euros in February. And we also announced that Jürgen Ratz has left the management board. The reason for that is that he joined the company primarily to set up overall commercial structures, including those for the U.S., since this is now partnered to Cosmo, and since it is a while until we can think about commercialization in Europe, he has decided in mutual agreement with the supervisory board to leave the company, and the pioneers are thankful for his contribution, and as normal in this industry, you always meet twice. On the next slide, I'd like to really highlight why remimazolam is such an important drug. Many times I hear, well, in anesthesia and sedation, everything is settled. But if you really look into this, both for procedural sedation and general anesthesia, there's a significant amount of unmet medical needs. Number one, of course, it is in the safety arena. And secondly, it is on patient satisfaction. And thirdly, it is also on productivity or efficiency of procedures. And this is becoming more and more an issue that's also discussed in anesthesiology papers, specifically with reference to low blood pressure. And so we think that we, with remimazolam, offer significant improvements over the existing alternatives for both sedation and general anesthesia. And this sentiment is shared with leading experts around the globe. The next slide is an overview on what is called the continuum of sedation. Just to remind everyone that sedation, is not just what we're doing in colonoscopies. Sedation is the overarching expression for, inducing light sleep, or let's say reducing anxiety. to full anesthesia, and this is a gradual changeover, and the red ring should indicate that the sedation that is required in colonoscopies is probably more on the deeper sedation, whereas if you think, for example, of a gastro upper GI intervention, it is more on the moderate sedation. So this is the space that we're dealing with, and it is important that patients that receive a drug for conscious sedation don't down under into general anesthesia. Now, what is remimazolam? It's a member of the benzodiazepine family with all its positive safety issues, attributes. It is the first really ultra-short-acting benzodiazepine, which is a great step of improvement because all so far known and existing benzodiazepines have a pretty long half-life, and that is reducing efficiency to use those drugs. Another important feature is that it can be reversed with flumazenil, and if you compare this, for example, with propofol, the reversal agent in parentheses, so to say, for propofol is the anesthesiologist. The reversal agent for remimazolam is a pharmacologic agent that can be applied by the proceduralist or the nurse that's supporting him. We are currently focusing on two different indications, procedural sedation, which is the lead indication for the U.S., and there the gold standards are midazolam and propofol. I go into that a little bit more later, and general anesthesia, which has been the program of our ex-partner Ono in Japan, and which is our planned way forward also for Europe. So far, we have built a very impressive efficacy and safety database. I must say that in my life in the pharmaceutical industry, remimazolam is the drug that had the least surprises, and therefore we are confident that we will also bring this drug over the finish line, which is really what's driving me. We look at the deal that we did with Cosmo. I think it reflects very nicely the promise the drug holds specifically for the U.S. in the procedural sedation space. We received a total of 20 million cash injection last year. We're entitled to additional 42 million in milestones and significant double-digit tiered royalties. We have agreed with Cosmo that Pion has to conclude all the activities that were ongoing when Cosmo came on board, and that Cosmo is responsible to get the market authorization as well as then responsible for all additional clinical trial and safety work that will be required to maintain that market authorization. Why is colonoscopy such an interesting business case in the U.S.? For those who are not familiar with the U.S. healthcare system, because of the, let's say, many risks that are associated with a stay in a hospital, there has been a huge trend in recent years to put as many short procedures outside of the hospital. So there is essentially a new segment, which are so-called outpatient clinics. And these outpatient clinics sometimes are essentially organized like, you could almost say factories. So it is really a mass market. Some 15 million colonoscopies plus some 5 million GI, upper GI endoscopies are performed yearly outside of the hospital. And this has been our primary target market because most of these procedures are reimbursed with approximately $1,000 per procedure. And if we can help the GI doc to make more procedures, he earns more money. That's on the one hand. On the other side, he can achieve the goal to treat more, to do more diagnostic colonoscopies, which is the only way to prevent a cancer, namely colon cancer. As I've already mentioned a couple of minutes ago, the two drugs that are widely used in the U.S. are, on the one hand, midazolam, and on the other hand, propofol. So this is very much also dependent on the reimbursement situation. And this reimbursement situation on, let's say, in the West and Midwest is different than on the East Coast, and therefore there is more propofol being used in the North, in the states around New York, and there's more midazolam used in states like California. And these drugs have been used now for, you know, several decades, so there has not been any innovation so far, and with the profile of remimazolam, I think we have an agent or can create a situation that can be described as disruptive. What else is happening in the U.S. market? Although we have to say that with a grain of caution right now, because no one is really knowing what the plans are for the U.S. healthcare situation with the new president. But as soon as there is consolidation of the events that are happening, we will take that into account and put this into our estimates. Now let's talk a couple of minutes about the fantastic results of the phase 3 colonoscopy study. First, here is the outline of the protocol, which is essentially matching also the two other studies of the phase 3 program, the bronchoscopy study and the study in ASA3-4 patients have been designed essentially the same, just with slightly different patient numbers, but the ratio of remimazolam to placebo is the same. The main difference is the ratio of midazolam patients. All of these patients also receive fentanyl because colonoscopy is a painful intervention, and I would like to remind everyone that the sedation agent like remimazolam primarily has no effect. It's not a pain-reducing drug. This is why this combination is important, and this combination is also important in light of what we will have to discuss in a couple of minutes if you talk about abuse liability. On the next slide is a graph showing the impressive result of the study with a statistically very impressive p-value, meaning that the difference to both placebo and midazolam from the efficacy point of perspective is much more than many people have expected. Just for those who are not very much into pharma, most placebo-controlled trials have a response rate of placebo of around 30%. That's the average across a lot of studies. So here you see a clear differentiation also how plus minus the answer of remimazolam is compared to placebo. If you look on the next slide, you see that we also could show that the fentanyl dose that is required to sedate the patient and let them endure the procedure is significant. So with remimazolam, less fentanyl is required to complete the procedure, and this is something where the agency at this moment in time is very sensitive. So everyone tries to reduce the use of fentanyl because fentanyl is responsible for an epidemic of abuse in the United States. If you now look at the other parameters that are of interest, for example, the time to reach sedation or the time to start the procedure, and here you see another clear differentiation to midazolam, but also to the, of course, the placebo arm, where essentially midazolam was given as a rescue medication. So essentially, we are comparing twice against midazolam in this trial, and this is very valuable information. If you now look how long it takes patients to be fully alert after the procedure, you see another striking difference. And this continues, this difference continues and magnifies if you ask patients on the next day, how long did it take you to be back to normal? Because even if you're considered fully alert, which is a specific test, that does not mean that patients, let's say, don't feel dizzy or don't feel quite up to speed to their normal behavior. And here we have a gain of almost 4 hours over midazolam, which is a significant improvement of quality of life. And it is in so far important because many times patients who have midazolam are a little bit hesitant to come back for the next colonoscopy because they remember that they lost a day in their life. Now, if you have an agent that, like propofol, makes you feel better earlier, this is a definitely a reason for patients to be compliant with the need to have the next colonoscopy screening. The improvement in what's called neuropsychiatric function is also displayed on the next slide, where you see that 5 minutes after this full alert, patients on remimazolam have a better test result when it comes to, you know, can you remember certain words or can you repeat what you have heard. This also has an impact on the physician-patient interaction because many times patients that underwent a procedure with midazolam don't recall what they have been told by the physician on the next day. So the physician has to explain again what he told them the other day. So here with remimazolam, we have a chance that patients do not need that second educational interview with the physician. And then finally, on the adverse event side, we also saw a significant reduction in adverse events, which was mainly driven by a difference in hypotension. And that may ring a bell because hypotension also is one of the differentiating factors that we claim for general anesthesia or that we have seen in general anesthesia. Now, what does it mean in terms of, you know, the implication on how remimazolam will be used? Given the time that we have gained overall, it can be assumed that we can do an important higher number of patients in the same period of time than you can do with midazolam, and that is the value proposition for the GI docs, and that will drive their decision, hopefully, to work with remimazolam. So what are the next steps? The recruitment for the bronchoscopy trial is expected to be completed shortly. You know that we had to report continuously last year that we are lagging behind the recruitment. We have invested a lot of human resources specifically, and here I would like to thank the team who is traveling back and forth to the U.S. and also the guys that are based in the U.S. They have done a great job to improve recruitment, and I'm very proud that we have such an excellent team for this. Also, the other part of the phase 3 trial, the ACE-A3-4 patients, we expect to report headline data shortly after we announce completion of the trial in December. Now let me talk a little bit about the phase 1 studies that are needed for this abuse potential of remimazolam. Let me explain that a lot of drugs that many of you have been using are under a so-called schedule. And, for example, a drug like tramadol or midazolam are on a so-called schedule 4. And another part of drugs like opioids, strong opioids, are on schedule 3. So the abuse liability tests that we have to do are the basis for not the FDA, but another agency that decides on the abuse potential of a drug, what schedule you get, and we, of course, assume that we get a similar schedule like midazolam because we're the same class and we already have completed 2 successful studies in this program showing that, obviously, remimazolam is less liked by drug abusers, and the reason is that the high that you get is not as long as you have with midazolam. So the ultra-short acting of remimazolam here, again, plays out as an advantage. But in order to complete the requirements of the FDA. We have agreed to do additional studies in order to increase the certainty that this is not something that we have to do after filing. The pre-NDA meeting, and this has been discussed between PIONIC and COSCO, is now planned for the end of 2017, and then filing by COSMO is assumed to happen in mid-2018. Now, let me briefly touch upon plans for Europe. As I've mentioned before, one of the differentiations against other drugs used in sedation is reduced incidence of hypotension. This is important specifically in a population where you have a significant increase in elderly patients. If you have a low blood pressure as a young patient, you can tolerate it better than if you're old. For example, if you already had a stroke and then your blood pressure goes down to that degree, this really means that your brain does not get enough oxygen, and this, of course, is something that you do not want to happen. A countermeasure to treat hypertension is to give so-called vasopressors, but also vasopressors are known to be not very good for, the perfusion of some organs, and therefore, if you can reduce the need for vasopressors, this is very positive. And thirdly, we think we may be able to avoid too deep sedation. Now, what are we currently doing in order to restart the European Phase 3 program? We have learned from the study in major cardiac surgery that design was too complex to be put into effect in the sites. There was resistance to do the trial, although initially in a very broad exercise to test feasibility, we had received the message, yes, the study is feasible and we can recruit the patient, but this is sometimes what happens in clinical research, that you are promised, I have enough patients, and then when you actually do the study, these patients all of a sudden disappear, and when you have completed the study, all of a sudden they are back. This is called Lasagna's Law, and I've experienced it many times in my career as a clinical researcher. Okay, but looking forward, we plan to resume the clinical development in the EU in the indication general anesthesia, and the plan which we are firming up right now is to essentially do a study which is very close in design to the ONO trial, which, as you know, was very successful. That means that we are looking not into a niche indication, but rather try to cover a broader range of general surgeries, which are usually also shorter than cardiac surgery, and therefore the use of propofol as the sole agent for anesthesia is more standard than in cardiac surgery, where the big hurdle was that specifically cardiac surgeons prefer to use sevoflurane for their patients and not propofol. We are performing a phase one study, and the phase one study is planned to support our sample size calculation for the European phase three study, because from our interaction with the EMA, we know that there's a specific request that they have. They want to have an objective measure of level of sedation throughout the maintenance of anesthesia, and in order to be able to achieve that goal, we must precisely understand how we can measure that in order to bring those data. And since we're not dealing with cardiac surgery patients where we have that experience already, we need to recalibrate the system and may employ other measurements in order to achieve that goal in the phase three. So when we have that, we will seek further guidance from the European Medicines Agency, and then we are fit to start. Right now, we are preparing the study, small scale, but the real greater effort is subject to further funding. What are we doing in Japan, Asia? As you know, we have raised money to initiate filing activities in Japan. This is based on the fact that the Japanese authority gave us the feedback that the clinical trial that was completed by Ono is sufficient to file. And in addition, a dossier that has been filed in Japan can also be used in other territories of the world to file. So it could also broaden our ability to receive royalties from other parts of the world where currently we do not have a partner. So the activities in Japan are really also important to advance ongoing discussions with potential interested parties. And of course, PAION is not planning to market remimazolam alone. The aim is to find a partner either in this process during dossier preparation or shortly after that. And we assume that filing could be around mid-2018. Sometimes I hear that people say, well, the studies have been completed a while ago. Why does it take now so long to file? I'd like to compare this to building a house. When you have built and you have the roof, you have everything outside of the house. This is essentially comparable to a situation. You could sleep there, right? But what you need then is you need the tiles for the bathroom, you need to put in heating and electricity and windows, and this is the part of the work that needs to be done between a clinical trial and filing. So the clinical trials are the raw, essentially it's the raw building, and putting a dossier together is like installing all the nice things in a house in order to make it fileable. And that is a lot of work. And I can tell you, we right now in our regulatory department have more than 4 people, and they're working day and night to put all things together in preparation of our upcoming filing activities. So in summary, I think the Cosmo deal and the first clinical trial has given a signal that Remi is a real drug and has the chance to be a big commercial success. And we continue these activities together and in joint discussions with Cosmo in order to achieve our goal of filing in the middle of next year. In Europe, we prepare and start initiatives to finance the restart of the European program. And in Japan, we are preparing filing and in parallel try to find a suitable partner for that. For Japan. And I must say also I am impressed by the continuation of the development and filing activities or preparing of filing activities by our cooperation partners, and we are currently discussing with them at what time we can report what activities, as I understand that you as a shareholder would like to know these, but we can only announce something after we have and reach mutual understanding with our parties, and they have their own way of communicating to the market, and we have to respect that. But I can assure you that a lot of activities are ongoing, and the work that is associated with that is increasing within PAION, and that's a very good measure of how these activities have stepped up over the last 12 months. On the last but one slide, is an overview of our deals that we have done in the past, and we see that a lot of the earth is already blue. We liked the color blue so much that we would like to cover the globe, and this is a dream a little bit away, but we are, I think, on a good way. Now let me be more hands-on and practical. So what is upcoming? It's the headline data of the ACE-A34 colonoscopy trial. Then we await shortly to announce the last patient in the bronchoscopy study, including then also the headline data, I would say 2 to 3 months later. Towards the end of the year, we plan for a pre-NDA meeting together with Cosmo, with the FDA, And then in 2018, we'd like to restart the European phase 3 and have significant filing activities both in the US and Japan. Thank you. This is it for me today, and I hand back to Ralf.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang and Abdel, for your presentation. And now I would like to start the Q&A session.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 2. You will then be advised when to ask your question. Thank you. So our first question comes from Igor Kim from Oddo Sadler. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, everyone. I've got a few questions, mostly regarding European trial that you plan to restart. First, those 18 to 20 million of R&D expenses, could you break down what amount of that will be used for the European trial and what will be used for the U.S., for the rest of the trials in the U.S.? Second question regarding the potential timeline of or length of the phase 3 trial. Could you probably provide us how long might it take? And if you are not able to give a precise timeline, probably could you remind us how much time did it take ONO to complete the phase 3 trial for the general anesthesia to have a kind of a benchmark? So these are two questions from my side so far.
Okay, so let me start with your first question. So the 18 to 20 million that we are guiding for 2017, that is basically to complete the U.S. development program. For Europe, what is included in there is only the phase 1 study that Wolfgang has explained, so no cost for the phase 3 study. And the phase 1 study, that's around 1.5 million only.
Okay.
And when it comes to what we assume of a recruiting time, the ONO phase 3 trial recruited more than 360 patients in 6 months. So our current expectation is a little bit more moderate, because what I've said before is, you always promise a lot of patients, and it also depends on how quickly you can set up the sites. It can happen that you can start the first site in January, and the last site only is ready to start in August, and this is sometimes due to contract negotiations with the university, etc. So We can only give a good guidance once we have all sites on board, but our assumption is anything between 9 and 12 months for the recruitment of that study. And we first have to seek EMA advice before we can give further guidance, because it also is a question of how many patients we have to recruit in that trial.
Okay, clear. And if, let's say, we assume that phase 3 trial will be done in 2018 and will take roughly 12 months, and then probably filing process around 1 year, so we might expect the sales launch, if everything goes fine, sometime in 2020. Is that something realistic to expect for the European market? And what actually do you plan to do post-trial in Europe? Do you plan to do it yourself or to partner it like you did it in U.S.?
Do you mean a post-approval trial? Sorry, it was difficult to understand.
Post-approval strategy. Do you plan to develop it yourself or with a partner in Europe?
Well, I mean, as we have said, it is our ambition to use Remimazolam to turn this company into a commercial active company. So that would include that in Europe, at least we would commercialize, if it makes sense to commercialize ourselves in all countries in Europe. That's another question. But at least we would like to say participate in the key countries, and in countries where it's difficult to achieve a price and it takes 400 days to get payments, I'd rather use local experts who have better connections in the system to make sure that they are reimbursed adequately. So that is our current view of Europe. And of course, as a German company, it would be our ultimate goal to keep Germany as one of the countries, because Germany is the largest market. It's our home market. But always that is in, let's say, in partnering discussions. Of course, everyone wants to have the German market. So we have to see. I think we have two options, but our vision and ambition is to market ourselves in a reasonable part of Europe.
Okay. And regarding the potential self-launch, or it's too early to talk about it?
The timelines. Well, I think as you've described it, it seems like a reasonable framework that it would be 2020. And of course, everyone here would like to see it earlier, and we'll do our best to do that. But I think to be realistic, it is better to not oversell in this situation. I think 2020 is a good number.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Simon Scholes from First Berlin. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Also on the subject of general anesthesia in Europe, I was wondering what disadvantages you see in continuing phase three in general anesthetic with general surgery patients rather than cardiac surgery patients.
Actually, we don't see a disadvantage, otherwise we wouldn't do it. I mean, it is just that the clinical trial in cardiac surgery patients, we initially wanted to position PION as something that works well and is very safe in this population. But unfortunately, with the design that was imposed on us not to use sevoflurane, this trial was not feasible. The next best alternative is to go into general surgery patients. The ONO trial is quite a good roadmap for that. And here we assume that we can show significant reduction in hypotension. And in the anesthesiology literature, it is becoming more and more clear that every minute of hypotension during surgery, during anesthesia, adds to a higher risk of mortality, having more strokes, having more acute myocardial infarction. And this is becoming very clear, so it is on the agenda of anesthesiologists, and I think we come at the right time with the right proposal to address these issues.
Okay, so did I understand that right? In the cardiac surgery or the planned cardiac surgery test, you weren't allowed to do a test against sevoflurane.
Yes, correct. I mean, the phase two trial that we did, which was the basis of our assumption, was the regimen in this trial was you induce with propofol, then you change to sevoflurane to gas, and at the end you go back to propofol so that you have something that you can also use in the wake-up room, etc., when patients are still ventilated. And this is the majority. This is essentially the gold standard. We had made that proposal in our scientific advice meeting, but it was rejected because the agency wanted to see a head-to-head against propofol only. So we tried to implement that trial, and unfortunately we failed in doing so.
Okay. And just one more question. In the annual report, you're also talking about further development for the ICU.
Yes.
And, I mean, so far, as far as I can see, most of the development for the ICU has been in Japan.
Yeah.
Is further development likely to be in Japan or in Europe or in the U.S.?
I would say as soon as we would have the funding and would we have enough staff to manage this, we would also engage in ICU sedation because it's, you know, the third indication, and to maximize the return on the overall investment, this is a very valuable indication. On the other hand, I think it is wise to first do general anesthesia because there we understand already a lot. And ICU sedation, of course, is also interesting for the U.S. market. So as soon as we either have a partner who would support that, or as you know, we have enough resources to do this in a responsible manner, I would say yes, ICU sedation should be reactivated.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Thomas Schiessler from Equitz. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, this is Thomas Schiessler speaking. Thank you for taking my question. Some of them are answered already, but there is one left, at least one left for the U.S. Wolfgang, you mentioned the additional investigation into the abuse potential of fentanyl versus all of remimazolam. Is this study changing your time schedule in the U.S. Meaningful, or is this only an additional effort you have to do to go smoothly through the FDA approval procedures? And does this cost extra money you will have to pay, or is this covered by Cosmo? This is the one question, and there's another question on your partner activities, Yingyang Honeywell. They do some short sedation study in China. They started in late autumn last year. When will there be the finalized data published on this study? Thank you.
Let me start with the last question first. Yichang informed us that they have not completed their complete evaluation, and as soon as they have that, they will also announce it, and then we will also inform our shareholders. Right now, I cannot comment any further on this because this is in the domain of Yichang to make that decision. The next point on the abuse liability, no, it has no impact on our filing timeline. So the filing timeline that I've given includes those studies by nature. And as I would describe them being part of the Rohbau and not of the interior. So the work that we still have to do, irrespective of these abuse liabilities, is to put all the other elements and studies into reports and in the format that is required. So this is the big chunk of work that we need to do between now and the end of until the pre-NDA meeting and ultimately filing. So the cost of this is included in our budget and in our forecast to be able to, be adequately funded until the end of 2018. And it is on us because it is part of the program that is required for filing, which is the contractual agreement with Cosmo.
Yeah, thank you. And an additional question on that. Will this abuse issue give you an extra pre-argument for marketing and for entering the market in the U.S.?
No, it will not give an additional advantage. It is a tick box. Essentially, it is a tick box exercise because of the big problem with fentanyl and other drugs, and also the combination of benzodiazepines with fentanyl in the abuse. It's oral abuse. It's not IV abuse. Therefore, all these substances have to undergo these tests. also a drug like Tramadol that, you know, most of the people here may have been used in a lifetime once, had to go through this kind of test. So the scheduling applies to all drugs that have an effect on sedation, because all, you know, the sedation, the light feeling of sedation is always something that, you know, could give rise to abuse. It is known that it has been described that also propofol has been abused not unfrequently by anesthesiologists or other people in the hospital who have access to the drug. So therefore, it is something that you just have to do as a tick box exercise. It has nothing to do with the marketing position.
Okay. Thank you for clarification. Thank you so far.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Mick Cooper from Trinity Delta. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of questions. Firstly, can you give us any update on Cosmo's development plans beyond procedural anesthesia and whether or not they have any plans in general anesthesia? And secondly, you mentioned in previous answer about the goal of becoming a commercial activities in Germany at least. Could you describe any BD activities you've got to expand the franchise beyond Remlazolam?
Okay. Now let me start with the procedural sedation or the development program in the U.S. I mean, the focus right now is to get procedural sedation on the market and then for the U.S. decide on adding the other indications. But this is not on the agenda for today. And it's also driven partially by our timeline when we start the European program. Then it's on the agenda also for Cosmo. The commercial activities beyond Remlazolam, I mean, you know that in the past we have looked at Remifentanil. Of course, we are looking at building a little portfolio of drugs, but we have nothing right now planned. We are looking at things, and it will be more important the closer we get to market, and if we do something, we definitely will announce it.
Many thanks.
Thank you, and we are now going to do the question and answer session for our German participants. Thank you.
Ja, vielen herzlichen Dank. Soweit an dieser Stelle. We will now stop to answer the Q&As in English, as I've seen that there are no further questions. And I would like now to switch to German-speaking participants. Sehr geehrte Herren und Damen und Herren, wenn Sie jetzt noch Fragen auf Deutsch stellen wollen, so können Sie dies bitte tun. Drücken Sie dafür bitte Stern 1 auf Ihrem Telefon. So, ich sehe, es gibt keine weiteren Fragen in Deutsch. Vielen Dank trotzdem für die Teilnahme. Wenn noch Fragen bestehen, können Sie mich natürlich jederzeit gerne anrufen. And I will now conclude the call in English. Thank you very much for joining us for PAION's earnings call on the financial results of 2016. I hope that we have been able to answer your questions, but of course, please feel free to give me a call afterwards. If you would like to listen to this call again, please visit the investor section of our website where the replay will be posted later today. For now, I say goodbye and thank you very much for your continued interest in PAION.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets. Thank you.